Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. We've been going through the book of Acts now for quite a while, I think since Pentecost at least, maybe a week or two before that. But we went through the first 12 chapters. Tonight, we're going to skip forward to chapter 15. Like I said last time, we can't really do the whole book. We can't really read everything in detail. But from now on, we're going to cover kind of the important points, although all of it is important, but things that we can really learn a lesson from. And 15 has, a great subject to it, which Paul then, in a little while, when he writes to the Galatians, really expands on it and talks about a group of people that he calls the Judaizers. And that's mostly what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to see how, in this chapter of Acts, there's a controversy that arises, and there's actually a church council called. We would call it a church council. In Christian times past, it would be called the church council. They did not call it a church council at the time. And I'm not really even sure if any of the major ancient churches, like the Catholic Church, the Orthodox churches, and so forth, not sure they recognize it as a council. I meant to check on that, but I didn't. But it's generally called the First Council of Jerusalem, or the Council of Jerusalem, since that was the only council in Jerusalem. There is, I might add, a movement in our time called Toward Jerusalem Council II, where a group of Messianic Jewish believers and people from some other denominations all over the world, really, with a lot of support in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church and some of the mainline Protestant denominations, would like to have a new council in Jerusalem. And one of the organizers of that is a Messianic rabbi who is a good friend of mine named Rabbi Mark Kinzer, who has a congregation in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And if you're listening, Rabbi Mark, hello. We've talked about this a lot, and he has a great statement that he says, where the First Council of Jerusalem was a group of Jews trying to decide what to do with Gentiles who were coming into the body. And now we need a council to say what to do. We have a group of Gentiles trying to decide, what are we going to do with all these Jews that are becoming believers? And the gospel in our time has gone back to Israel. And if you know, if you're familiar with my One in Messiah ministry, if you're familiar with Messianic Judaism in general, you know that the gospel has been spreading in Israel. In fact, a council of rabbis, including the head rabbi, they are making a series of videos because they're alarmed that so many Jews have become believers, especially during the COVID pandemic. But that might be a good topic for another show. But now we're going back to the first century. But that's a topic near and dear to my heart, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot. But in Acts chapter 15, let's start in verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. And unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Now the apostles and the elders came together on this matter. So let's pause there for a moment. Now the church they're talking about is the church at Antioch. This church was growing. It was mainly Gentile, but there were Jews there. Peter, it seems, had planted that church, had started that church. And as time went on, the church was built up by more and more Gentiles coming in. And then, as is commonly the case, unfortunately, in our time, probably even more so, some dissension arises. There's always some factions within the body, some factions that have an agenda. This is a great example of that. But factions always have an agenda. They always cause some dissension. And this church that had Peter and Paul as its shining leaders, I mean, you couldn't get more high-placed leaders than Peter and Paul, made up of Jews and Gentiles. There were Greeks living there, of course. There were Romans living there, of course. It was part of the empire. They were whatever other ethnic groups are in that area, were becoming believers and were coming to the church in Antioch. In fact, Antioch is one of the ancient seats of the church. In the Orthodox Church, there is a patriarch of Antioch who is, other than Jerusalem, the most ancient of the patriarchs. So it was a diverse church, and it was an on-fire church, as we would say in our time. But then this dissension came. It says certain men came from Jerusalem. They came down to Antioch. You always go up to Jerusalem and down to everywhere else. In fact, when a Jewish person moves to Israel to live, it's called Aliyah, which means go up to the, you know, go up. You always go up to Jerusalem. The Bible always says they went up to Jerusalem. So certain men came down from Jerusalem, and these men were believers. Now, it doesn't tell us who they were. They may have been Pharisees. They may have been priests. Not all the Pharisees were priests, and not all the priests were Pharisees, but that's a whole other subject. But they came to from Judea, from Judah, from Jerusalem, which is where the authority was. The authority in Judaism was there. The authority of this infant church was there. Jesus had lived in the land, had died in Jerusalem. The apostles were ministering in Jerusalem. Paul was living in Jerusalem, Saul of Tarsus. Then, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, was converted, came to faith in the Messiah on his way to Damascus to persecute believers. They came from the place where authority was, and they wanted to influence this new church. They wanted to influence these believers in Antioch who they generally considered Gentiles. And they were, for the most part, Gentile believers, but there were some Jewish believers there as well. So it came down to, well, we're glad these people are believers. We're glad these people believe in the Messiah. We're glad these people have accepted Messiah and now understand who Jesus was. But there's something else. There's something that's missing. We did a teaching a few weeks ago about Peter and Cornelius, where Cornelius believed in the God of Israel. He gave alms. He did all kind of charity things. And the angel said to send for Peter because there's something else that you must know. Saying the prayers, doing the charity is not enough. He had to understand who Jesus was and what the gospel was. These people came and said, well, that's nice that you guys are believers. We're really excited. But in order to be saved, you must be circumcised. and then you must follow the law given to Moses. Now, in Galatians, Paul tells us about this with much more detail, and he's very critical of this because, as the writer to the Hebrews points out, the things in the Torah and the prophets are types and shadows of what's going to come. Jesus, Yeshua, is the substance. The substance is what is important. You don't grasp the substance and then say, well, you know what? I'd like to go back and do the types and shadows because that's really awesome. No, but these people came with an agenda because they still had zeal for the law. You can see there from their point of view, I mean, they were Pharisees, they were priests, they had followed the law, they had taught the law until maybe a few months ago, a year ago. They still had the zeal for the law. And by law here, we're talking about the ceremonial law, the ritual law, the sacrifices, the offerings, the washings, you know, the things that were the rituals. We're not talking about the moral law. We'll get to that at some other time. So this had been ingrained in them, and many of them had had a different view of Messiah, that Messiah was actually for the Jews, and that he would set up a kingdom, and that he would reign over the kingdom, and the Gentiles would be amazed by all this. Well, now they realized that Jesus was the Savior and that he had come to deal with sin, but this was all in a Jewish context for them. And when they saw these Gentiles who were uncircumcised, unclean, non-covenant, this was very difficult for them. As we saw, it was difficult from time to time for Peter. People like this come through the early church, and the early church was mostly Jewish, but then as the Gentile numbers increased exponentially and the Jewish numbers went down in, you know, percentage-wise, this became less of an issue. But at this point, it was a big issue. So they came and said, well, unless you're circumcised and follow the law of Moses, you can't be saved. So it says Paul and Barnabas opposed this vigorously. They vigorously went against this. They argued publicly about it. This was a different gospel. Paul had been teaching. Peter had been teaching at this point. The churches were being planted under the idea that Jesus, as Messiah, had died, had bled and died for the atonement of sin, for the forgiveness of sin, and that the kingdom was now open to Jew and Gentile alike. You know, Paul would later write in Ephesians, chapter 2, 14 to 16, that Jesus had taken down the partition between Jew and Gentile. And it says he took down the partition in his flesh to make of them one new man, made one new man. So Paul goes on to say, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't matter what your economic position is. What matters is, do you know Christ or not? What matters is, have you repented of your sin or not? The issue is, are you following Christ or are you following some other gospel, which today, you know, as I like to call the Church of Nice is doing, where people have believed now that the gospel is to be nice and you can believe whatever you want and we take care of the environment. But that's a whole other story that we'll talk about. But Paul understood now that they were freed from the ceremonial law. Doing sacrifices now would be a mockery because the ultimate sacrifice had been done. And Paul always opposes the Judaizers. He calls them false teachers. He calls them enemies of the cross because they're adding something to what Jesus did. In their minds, salvation was Jesus plus a whole bunch of our stuff. Jesus plus the law. Jesus plus the old covenant. They didn't stop to think. They were now in the new covenant. They were now in a covenant of grace, not a covenant of law. So Paul and Barnabas and others had preached that Jesus was their salvation, and now these other things were starting to become a stumbling block. Understandably, Gentiles would start to be discouraged. Paul had written, had talked to them about liberty, and now these guys come and say you have to subject yourself to the law. So they said, look, we got to do something about this. We're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to talk to the apostles. We're going to talk to the elders. And on the way, they converted people in Samaria and in Phoenicia. And they were so excited. They were so excited. So they were joyous, it said, when they got to Jerusalem. Because the progress of the gospel always makes you joyous. When you lead someone to Christ, you're joyous. There's no more exciting, joyous thing to do with your life. So they get to Jerusalem. They're welcomed. They reported to the elders and the apostles everything God had done through them. Let's read a little bit of that. Start in verse 7. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. So they recounted to this whole council, apparently this was a very lively discussion, how all these signs and wonders had been done, how all these Gentiles had come to faith, and that faith in the Lord Jesus was the linchpin of salvation, whether you were a Jew or whether you were a Gentile. Because these Pharisees had insisted the Gentiles had to be circumcised or follow the law. So after this lively discussion, Peter stands up to speak. And he addresses the whole gathering. He calls them brethren, which is nice. He calls them brethren. And he talks about how God had chosen him to preach, that he had preached to Gentiles, so Gentiles could hear the word and believe, and that God had granted repentance to the Gentiles. And they received the Holy Spirit just like the apostles and the other Jewish believers had. There was no distinction. Peter never got a word from the Lord that Gentiles should be circumcised, or that Gentiles should be given all 613 laws that were given to Moses and say, well, why don't you guys, you know, look these over. We made a little summary here. Look these over and, try to get to it. Because after all, no, he never got a word about that. Never got a word about them following the law. And he pointed out to the first group of Jewish believers who were upset that he had gone to Cornelius's house, that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit just like they had. So Peter is saying this. Peter stands up and says this. So he's kind of recounting his experience at Cornelius's house, which was probably the first time he really ministered to Gentiles, saying they received the Holy Spirit just like we did. The Gentiles are going to be purified by faith just like we are purified by faith. And so why should you then turn and put a yoke on them? He calls this a yoke. Now, you know what a yoke is? A yoke was this big wooden thing that held two oxen or whatever animals you were using to plow, held the animals together, was made so the animals would, walk forward. And the guy, the man who was plowing the field, had the plow literally strapped to himself with a pair of reins that he could keep the animals going straight. But the animals were controlled by the yoke. So he says, these Gentiles that I'm telling you about came to faith in Yeshua, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. I taught them that their salvation was going to come to them by faith, that in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit they would have liberty, and that they would be freed from bondage. And now you're putting a yoke on them, which is the law. He calls the law a yoke. And he further points out that neither they nor their fathers or any of us, meaning any of the Jews that were there, were able to follow that law, were able to bear that yoke. It's just a very beautiful description of this, that the law was such a yoke that there's no way anybody can keep it, is what Peter is saying. He says, neither our fathers nor we are able to bear this yoke. And now you want to put that same yoke on these Gentile believers who didn't know a thing about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't know a thing about Moses, didn't know a thing about the law until a month ago, 3 months ago, 6 months ago when they became believers. And now we're going to tell them that we're going to put this burden on them that they have to follow 613 laws. And by the way, none of you guys can follow this law, and neither could your fathers. And so now we understand that we're saved by grace, whether we're Jews, whether we're Gentiles. There's not a distinction. There isn't a way to salvation for Jews and a way to salvation for Gentiles. There isn't a Jewish church and a Gentile church. There is one body of Christ, one body of Messiah. There's no distinction. So why should these Gentiles have these conditions put on them to be admitted to the body? Why should you make the what we would call the Christian life so difficult for them? And he says, you know, why are you guys testing God? God has settled the issue. God has settled the issue. He says, why do you test God by putting a yoke on them? When God had said through them, as the apostles had taught, that the terms of salvation were to come to the Lord Jesus and receive grace. And it doesn't matter who preached the word to them, as Paul says periodically in his letters. Well, whether it was I that preached to him or somebody else that preached to him, the important thing was somebody preached to them and they came to faith. The Holy Spirit acted on them and they came to faith. Now, you cannot add terms to that. You cannot change the gospel. You cannot change the terms of salvation, because it doesn't matter what their background is. Salvation is the same, because Messiah, Jesus, came to bring liberty and not confine people with a whole bunch of other conditions. The law was very difficult. Nobody could keep it. Does that mean the law was bad? You know, Paul talks about this in Romans, right? I think it's chapter 2, or maybe it's 3, I don't know. You know, he says the law was not evil, because the law was from God. The law was the criteria for showing people how they were to be holy. And if you kept the law, you were righteous, and you could earn your way to God. If you did not keep the law, in fact, if you violated one, it was the same as violating them all. So therefore, nobody could do that. So the problem was not with the law, the problem was with us. Because whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, You have Adam's nature. And you try very hard to follow the law. The Pharisees were the kings of that. You try very hard to follow the laws. You try very hard to be holy. Oh, I hear the music playing. Well, I guess we're going to have to finish this next week because there's still a lot of cool stuff in here. Well, anyway, join us next week where we'll finish this up. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. And remember, tune in next week for the gift of grace. And have an awesome week.